Morning, everyone. Okay, keep Colossians open. That's going to be really handy this morning. Let's pray before we start. Father, thank you so much for giving us your word in the Bible and in your Son Jesus. And thank you for both in your word and in your Son inviting us to come near to you and come before your throne in confidence. Amen.
I wonder, have you ever been so spoiled for choice that you just don't know what to ask for? So spoiled for choice that you don't know what to ask for. Maybe you can relate to this, but when Claire and I go out to eat, often Claire just agonises over what dish to choose. And it actually quite regularly happens that waitstaff, they come and they say, are you ready to order yet? Just a couple more minutes. It's awkward when you have to send them away multiple times. I guess I just hope they take it as a compliment, you know? It's hard to choose because there's so many good dishes, right? Have you ever felt like that when it comes to prayer? Like there's just so many things you could pray for, you don't know what to ask. Because, I mean, when we pray to the God of the universe. And remember last week, we saw how God can do anything we ask. Not only can he do anything we ask, he loves to do good things for his people. Which means, if you think about it, there is a lot of things that we could pray for. Is there a right answer about what we should pray for? Is there a wrong answer? What should we pray for? The more you think about it, the more options there are. Well, here we are, second week of our series called Talking to God About People. And this is the question before us today. What should we pray for? Now, the Bible has a lot to say about what we should pray for. And hopefully in your small groups this last week or this coming week, you're going to have a chance to read a whole bunch of different things that the Bible says about what we pray for. As far as this morning goes, though, we're going to stick with Colossians. Because Colossians very helpfully pulls a whole bunch of different ideas together to show us that what we pray for should be shaped by who we're praying to. What we pray for should be shaped by what God is doing. See, almost as soon as Colossians starts, the Apostle Paul is telling this church what he's been praying about. And Paul's prayer, we're going to see, is a prayer that flows from God's perspective and God's priorities and God's plans. See, Paul knows that what we pray for really ought to be shaped by God's framework for gospel growth. So, have Colossians open. Now, we're going to get to chapter 4 in a moment. But before that, we're actually going to get back and have a look at chapter 1 of Colossians. So, flip back a couple of pages to Colossians chapter 1. Because first up, we see Paul praying. He's praying a prayer that comes from gospel growth. And it's a prayer for gospel growth. So, Colossians chapter 1, verse 3, a prayer that comes from gospel growth. He says, we always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you. Because we've heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love you have for all God's people, the faith and love that spring from the hope stored up for you in heaven and about which you already heard in the true message of the gospel that's come to you. In the same way, the gospel is bearing fruit and growing throughout the whole world, just as it's been doing among you since the day you heard it and truly understood God's grace. The gospel, Paul says, has been growing in this church in Colossae. In fact, there hasn't been a single day that it hasn't been growing since the day that they first heard it. In that sense, the gospel is a bit like the ivy that covered the fence outside of my laundry when we moved into our house. When we moved in, we very quickly discovered that this ivy, and maybe you've had something like this in your garden, this ivy, it just grew like crazy. Summer, winter, all year round, it doesn't matter, it just grew. It was impossible to stop it. I was actually chatting to my neighbour on the other side of that fence, and he was telling me about when he first moved into his place. And he saw the ivy was a bit overgrown. He thought, yeah, clearly I'm going to have to cut that back. Thing is, though, when he did start cutting it back, he discovered that he had an entire carport he hadn't even noticed when he bought the house. That's the gospel. It grows, it spreads, it just doesn't stop. For thousands of years, the gospel has been growing. As people find forgiveness, as people find new life in the Lord Jesus Christ, it reached Colossae, it's reached Bathurst, hasn't it? It is working its way into people's hearts and lives. And so Paul, he just can't help but thank God for the way God is graciously saving people by the gospel. Paul's prayer is a prayer that comes from gospel growth. And so when you see gospel growth among people here at BPC, when you sit around in your small group and you talk about how following Jesus impacts your hearts and lives, when you see the gospel grab hold of people and change them, that is something worth thanking God for. And as we see people find forgiveness, as we see people brought into God's big family, as we see people loving one another, like Paul described the Colossian church there, generously inviting people into our homes, thoughtfully using our words to encourage others, graciously giving time to invest in friendships. I mean, that's time and effort that we could easily spend investing in ourselves and our own riches now. But as Paul says, as we more and more realize that we have an eternal hope stored up in heaven, as we realize that and then love the saints, love God's people like the Colossians did, that's worth thanking God for when we see that happen. But knowing that the gospel doesn't stop growing, Paul also prays for gospel growth, for more gospel growth. Take a look down at verse 9. He says, for this reason, that the reason being because the gospel is growing and spreading, for this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work. Paul's prayer for God is for gospel growth that bears fruit. And the fruit, you'll notice, is lives lived for Jesus. Lives lived worthy of the Lord. Now, it's at this point that Paul switches up his picture. Up till now, he's been talking in terms of a vine that grows and spreads and bears fruit. But to describe what the fruit of gospel growth looks like, as in to describe what living for Jesus looks like, Paul switches to a different picture. It's a picture now of moving from one kingdom to another. And we see it in verse 13. Take a look. He says, for he, Jesus, he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Once we lived under the power, the dominion of darkness. Paul's talking about our rejection of God, our rebellion against God. Now, for some of us, it's kind of a passive rebellion. For some of us, it's a bit more defiant. But either way, it's choosing to live a life without God, choosing to live how we want to live. And because of our sin, that leaves us trapped in darkness. But the wonderful grace of the gospel is God's taken us out of that darkness and he has brought us into the kingdom of his Son. At the cross, Jesus died to redeem us and forgive sin. And so that's what the gospel does. It transfers people from one place to another place. The gospel is a change of address. I grew up in Albury. Albury is a lot like Bathurst. It's a regional city. I moved to Sydney, though, for a few years, and it was a bit of an adjustment for me. Things that I used to do, like driving everywhere, I always used to do that. That didn't make as much sense in Sydney. I caught the train much more than I drove places. I even bought myself a bike. I even started catching buses. I'd never caught a public bus in my life until I moved to Sydney. I did all these different things, I ate different food, And when I went back to visit my family in Albury, they would make comments. They would say, you're such a city person. It was true, I was. We have experienced a much more profound change of address than that. God has brought us from the power of darkness into the kingdom of his Son. From one life to another life. We've come from a life of hostility toward God into a life lived to please him. It is a whole new kingdom with a whole new culture to adjust to. And so Paul prays for the Colossians to live this new life in this new kingdom of King Jesus. And this is really zooming in to the very center of God's priorities for the world. That people would come into his kingdom and live as citizens of his kingdom. And so some of the most significant prayers we can pray are to ask God, just like Paul does here, that he would give us all spiritual wisdom and understanding. That is, that we would know what it means for us to live as disciples of Jesus. We ask God for understanding of what it means to obey King Jesus. Now, that will mean praying that we would leave behind the sin that we've been redeemed from. And it will mean praying that now we would live selflessly for the good of others, and particularly for the honour of King Jesus. Paul's prayer, it's driven from start to finish by God's plans for gospel growth. As we go on in Colossians, and as we get to chapter 4, we now find Paul asking for prayer. And no surprise that his request for prayer is all about continued gospel growth. So, flip across to Colossians chapter 4. Paul asks the church to be praying for gospel opportunity and gospel clarity, and he encourages gospel readiness. So let's start with opportunity. Colossians chapter 4 now and verse 2. Here is Paul's request for prayer. He says, devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. And pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains. Paul would love open doors. He would love opportunities, chances for the gospel to be spoken, and places where it can be spoken. Now, we pray for these things, you probably noticed, a whole lot here at BBC. We love praying for opportunities for the gospel for Norman Janelle in Kenya, and for Colin and Kath in France, and John T and Beth up on the Gold Coast, Andrew and Leslie on campus, the Christian teachers at Scots All Saints School, Ed and Samuel at Denison College, even our preschool just here. We love praying for opportunities for the gospel to be spoken. SRE was mentioned earlier today. But of course, it's us as well, isn't it? It's not just people out there. We love to pray that we would have opportunities. We love to pray for our friends and our colleagues and our neighbours, all these people that God has put in our lives. We love to pray that we would have opportunities to tell them about Christ every time we see them. We are praying, and I hope at the moment we are desperately praying for new and creative ways to be asking friends along to discover Jesus here at church, maybe over Easter weekend. Our elders here, we're praying, and please join us in praying. We are praying for more staff at BBC. We are praying for more church families as part of BBC, so as to increase and multiply the chances that there are for the gospel to be spoken in Bathurst. Paul presses on in verse 4, and he asks the Colossians also to pray for clarity. And look, verse 4, he says, pray that I may proclaim it, that's the gospel message, pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should. We want the gospel in all of its grace-filled, wonderful completeness to come across clearly to people who haven't yet heard it. Now, that means a couple of really important things. Firstly, it means that we absolutely have to pray for God's Holy Spirit to be at work. We want to pray that as the good news of Jesus is spoken, God's Spirit would bring those words to have a real impact on the people who hear them. We have to and love to ask God to be doing that. It also means that we really want to learn to speak the gospel more and more clearly ourselves. We want to make the most and grab hold of those chances to be trained and equipped to share Jesus well. Now, that can happen in all kinds of different ways in and around church. But look, let me mention, there's some training events coming up in Term 2 that are aimed right at us being well equipped to share Jesus well. And so those are not to be missed opportunities, aren't they, if we want the gospel to be heard clearly? Now, if we're praying for opportunities for the gospel to be heard clearly, it's hardly a surprise what Paul says next. It's hardly a surprise that we want it to be ready. Take a look at verse 5. Paul says, "Be wise in the way you act toward outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation always be full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone." Knowing that God is in the business of setting the gospel to work in people, and as we pray for every opportunity to speak the gospel clearly, of course, we want to be ready ourselves with gracious gospel words. We want to be ready when we do speak with non-believers. I reckon that Paul would think it simply disastrous if opportunities came for the gospel and we missed them. I mean, how terrible if we had chance after chance to share Jesus' love for the world, and time after time, we were unable to say anything. So Paul says we're to be wise. We will lovingly and sincerely build up friendships with non-believers. That would be wise, wouldn't it? We're the kind of people who live in the world honestly, truthfully, selflessly, justly, generously, and kindly, so as to make the gospel attractive when we talk about it. That would be making the most of our opportunities, wouldn't it? Our conversations, Paul says, our conversations are to be full of grace. Our words should be generous, not vicious, not deceptive, not suspicious, not selfish, but gracious. So that when we do open our mouths to talk of Jesus' love, it comes as no surprise to anyone. I read some research this week about Netflix. Apparently now on Netflix there is just so much choice, there is so many different things to watch, that people spend almost 20 minutes every day just choosing what they're going to watch. 20 minutes. Now, some episodes on Netflix are only 22 minutes long. And according to Netflix themselves, the longer you take deciding what to watch, the higher the chance that you just give up. Some people give up after just 60 seconds. It's so overwhelming. They just don't know what to choose. Netflix is a bit like prayer. We can pray for anything. There's so much choice. A lot more choice than Netflix. I mean, can you thank God for something good that happens? Of course you can. You should do that. Should we praise God for his incredible creation? Absolutely we should. Can we ask God to provide for what we need? Definitely we should do that. God invites us to do that. If we're anxious, can we talk to God about that? You bet we can. If there are things going on in our lives, does God want us to talk about those things? He does. Can we pray about bushfires and drought and COVID-19? Of course we can. Can we pray about our physical health, our emotional well-being? Yes, we can. Can you pray to find a parking space when you can't find one? Sure, go for it. All of these things that are going on in our lives, all our worries, all our concerns, all our needs, whatever might be on our minds, God loves. God invites us to talk to him about all those things and more. There is so much we can pray about, but we wouldn't want to be so overwhelmed with the choice that we just gave. And so as we pray, we want to make sure that we don't neglect to pray for the work of the gospel. The work of the gospel in us, the work of the gospel in our church families, the work of the gospel in the world. Because this is God's big, world-changing priority for Jesus to be rightly acknowledged as King. For people to become his disciples, join his kingdom. All of our prayer, no matter what we're praying for, we want it to be shaped by God's framework for gospel growth. Shaped by God's plans, shaped by God's priorities. Which means that everything we pray for, everything we pray for, is shaped by our desire for the gospel to grow and to spread and to wonderfully bring people from the power of darkness into the glorious kingdom of the Lord Jesus. It's a wonderful and extraordinary thing. How about we do that now? Let's pray. Father, thank you for inviting us to pray to you. We are so grateful to be able to bring all our worries, all our concerns, our requests, all our thanks and our praise as well to you. And so, Father, in all of these things, please be at work in us, that we might live lives of faith and love, pleasing to the Lord Jesus. And please also, for the sake of the glory and honour of Jesus, please bring more and more people into his kingdom too. Amen.